Steve here from Production Music Tools. We are very excited to release Symbol Effects Bode in collaboration with our friends at 52cues.com. This sample collection features 68 unique Bode symbol performances, offering a broad spectrum of timbres, textures, and tones, and is the perfect choice for tension and trailer music. These were performed on a 22-inch Stag traditional China Lion cymbal, and every sample has been expertly recorded and performed by composer Dave Croft of 52 Cues. Incorporating these top-notch samples into your project is a breeze. Simply drag and drop to create stunning transitions and infuse your mixes with added depth and texture. You can find this pack at productionmusictools.com as part of our sample pack product line.
I believe that every person, every human being has creativity. I believe that creativity, while a finite resource, is infinitely replenishable. And I believe that every creative individual has within them a natural leaning, a natural skill, a natural talent, something that just comes out of them the easiest. What is happening, everybody? This is Dave Croft, and welcome back to another episode of the 52 Cues podcast. I do hope you're doing well today, and I want to thank you for joining me. We're changing things up just a little bit. We're trying new things. We're trying new things here in the podcast, and this was born a little bit out of me watching through old episodes of the podcast and found myself kind of in a rabbit hole of like YouTube editing and production techniques and trends and what is retention editing and all this stuff. And I started kind of falling down this rabbit hole, and I thought, wait a minute, that's not like who necessarily I am. And I started thinking back to some of my earliest influences in radio production, because at my core, I'm a teacher, I'm a lecturer, I am not a filmmaker, and I am much more like talk radio. I remember as a kid getting a job being a Salvation Army bell ringer. And I had a little AM radio that I was listening to, and I was listening to, I think that, was it Sally Jesse Raphael? Or I was listening to talk radio back in the day. And we're talking about like Sally Jesse Raphael when she was a radio host, not a talk show. So that kind of shows you how old I am and how long ago this was. But one of my earliest influences in kind of podcasting modern approach was Leo Laporte from Tech TV. I don't know if you remember him. He had a show called The Week in Tech, an amazing radio voice. And he had a show with like call-in people, but he really focused on talking to the audience, but in a radio-y kind of way. And this carried forward into my years doing Drummer Talk. In case you don't know, I did a drumming podcast for about 12 years from 2005 until 2012 or so. Is that right? I'm not sure, but anyway, you can go check it out. It's still up there if you want to hear Dave from, you know, 15, 20 years ago, what I was doing and having my students on. And I love Drummer Talk, and I know that some of you are watching this right now who are Drummer Talk fans, and that's cool. But what am I getting at here? Getting a little bit back to my radio roots. Because at the end of the day, I want this to feel like more like a radio program with the camera turned on. And even the podcasts that have cameras, whether it's Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend or whatever, you know, they got their headphones on because it's much easier to kind of gauge your proximity effect and your microphone technique. It's much easier with headphones. And not feeling like I am like making a YouTube video. And so I feel like perhaps my audio delivery during the podcast I was feeling the weight of that, the fact that I am making a YouTube video. And I've said it before, I'm not interested in chasing the algorithm. I'm not interested in making YouTube content. I'm interested in making a podcast with the YouTube component onto it. So we're trying it. We'll see how it goes. Being back in headphones feels like being in, you know, back on a nice comfy pair of jeans. But I know that some folks feel like maybe it's a little bit of a barrier, you know, without the headphones. But this feels much more like home for me as far as creating fantastic audio content for folks who might be listening, or folks who turn on the podcast and listen to it in the background. I mean, I don't know. And you tell me in the comments, how many of you are watching this podcast and just watching me talk to you for like 45 minutes at a time? Let me know. And if so, let me know what you think of this, about returning to this kind of this format. But I think there's a different energy to it that feels a lot more comfortable to me. So we're gonna go to it. And then also we might switch up the format of the show itself. Again, just experimenting, just trying things. We'll see how it goes. So I want us to talk about kind of my week, and then I want to get into the topic, because today's topic is superpowers. What is your superpower, and how do you find your superpower? And once you've found your superpower, what do you do with it? And what if your superpower isn't production music or sync friendly? And what do you do about your kryptonite? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But I'm going to put my cue breakdown, or my weekly cue, I'm going to put that kind of at the end. And you'll also notice there wasn't like this big kind of blurb about, you know, join the community and all of that stuff. It's super important. And none of this would be possible without the family, friends, and neighbor subscribers of 52 Qs. But more on that just a little bit later. So we're trying things. We'll see how it goes. This also gives me an opportunity, now that I'm making radio and not necessarily making YouTube videos for clicks and algorithm, I could take a sip of coffee. So how was my week? I had a really interesting week. I don't feel as productive as I have in recent weeks. And part of that, I think, man, during last week's live stream, I had a really rough go of it. You know, I'm in the middle of making these cues for Discovery Channel, writing dramedy cues that sound like they could be dramedy in a French cafe or a European cafe dramedy. I've been showing you a couple of those so far. And it was all cooking along, man. I've like knocked out nearly the first half of the album. It's done. I'm feeling great about it. Then during the live stream, I got stuck. I got completely stuck in the weeds. The harmony wasn't working for me. The melody wasn't coming. And I got so frustrated with myself. We're like 45 minutes into a 2-hour live stream, you know, that subscribers are paying to see. And I respect that. And I want to honor that. And I legitimately thought about, like, I'm gonna pull the plug on this. This is terrible. What do I want to do? And that's happened a couple of times before during the live streams, where I kind of get stuck. And there was one time when it was supposed to be an unboxing live stream, and I was going to demonstrate using this Newmark turntable, digital DJ console. I was going to unbox it and do some stuff. That went terrible. That did not go well at all, because the unboxing didn't go as smoothly as I wanted to. The software was being weird, and my DJing skills had atrophied quite a bit, especially when trying to translate them to a digital console. And so I just was said about halfway through, I'm like, you know what? Time out, everybody. I'm going to set this aside, and I'm going to work on some deliverables. And that's what that live stream turned into. And it turned out to be really, really good. And I took care of some work that I needed to take care of. But there was a point where I could like cut bait and move on. Pick up my fishing pole and go cast somewhere else. And I had that moment during last week's live stream where I thought, man, is this a cut bait moment? I don't really have time to do that because I need to knock out the queue. And I'm going to be wrapping up that queue. I thought, you know what? I'm going to push through it because somebody out there, somebody watching this, it's going to be helpful to see my process, to see somebody, quote unquote, you know, who has it all figured out. I don't. But it might be helpful for them to see somebody work through that block, that stagnation, whatever you want to call it. It might be helpful for somebody to watch somebody, maybe in a secondhand embarrassment kind of way, maybe cringe TV, I don't know. And I asked the chat, and I said, well, what do you think? Is this helpful? Is it worth you watching me fumble through trying to craft a melody for like 15 minutes? And they said, yeah, this is good. And so I continued on, and we'll find out. We'll find out. You'll know in the next couple of weeks when I play that cue for you here on the podcast. You'll know how it turned out. And I purposely, between the live streams, I don't listen to them because I want to come back to the live stream. When I do a part one and part two, that is, I want to come back to the live stream with a fresh perspective because a lot of things might change. And I don't want to stay in the headspace where I was stuck. And I want to stay in that headspace or carry that energy forward. So I don't listen to them in between to give me a fresh perspective. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, sometimes there comes a point when you're writing a cue where you should cut bait. You should just, this isn't working, put a pin in it and save it somewhere on a hard drive and circle back to it much, much later, or maybe never. I don't know. Maybe getting stuck was the learning. Maybe that's what you were there to do, is to learn something from that. Or maybe you should push through. Whether you have an audience watching you on a live stream or an audience in the future watching an archive, or maybe it's just you and your cat in a studio trying to hash it out. Sometimes pushing through is the better choice. Now, which is which? That's the game there, isn't it? That's the game. So that was my week. And I'd love to hear about your week. Why don't you let me know in the comments below? But for today's topic, I want to talk about superpowers. And we're gonna ask, you know, what is a superpower? How do you find your superpower? When you find your superpower, what do you do with it? Especially if what if your superpower isn't sync friendly? And then once you have your superpower, what do you do about your kryptonite? So that's what we're talking about on today's podcast. I believe that every person, every human being has creativity. I believe that creativity, while a finite resource, is infinitely replenishable. And I believe that every creative individual has within them a natural leaning, a natural skill, a natural talent, something that just comes out of them the easiest. And when it's working well, the thing that comes out of them resonates with what they really want to do. It excites them. They're passionate about it. They want to do it. They can't stop thinking about it. Maybe they watch YouTube videos on it. And when we're talking about like a skill, a thing, and some superheroes don't have just one superpower. I mean, Superman can fly, has super strength, has laser vision, and apparently like an S that he can peel off his chest and throw at people like saran wrap. Oh, they were just making stuff up by the end.
Well, I've been working out.
But There's probably one thing that you like best about your creative self. Think about it. Give it a few minutes, just right now, to think about the thing that excites you the most. What musical thing, technical thing, creative thing in this whole world of production and library music? What's the if you could boil it down to this is what I love doing. This is what I can't stop talking about. In some examples, and I'm holding off on saying examples because I want to let you think about it first. Well, I'll start with my superpowers. I feel like I have a couple of them. I love rhythm. I love groove. I love the interplay of taking like this rhythmic cycle and this rhythmic cycle, and how do you kind of put them together so they create spokes upon spokes, and all of that fascinates me. And to this day, and I've been doing it since I was a kid, pulling up to a stoplight and seeing the different turn signals, to this day, when Shannon and I are driving around, going to lunch or something, stopping at a stoplight and there are turn signals, I will start beatboxing to the turn signals. And I will count the interplay and the polyrhythms between my turn signal and the turn signal in front of me. Well, this is a 5 against 7. You know, this is a 3 against 2. Yep. And I know we all kind of do this, but I can't stop doing it. It's no wonder that I gravitated towards being a percussionist and a drummer in sixth grade. And I think that completely fed into this passion and this love of rhythm and the complexities and the math. Even though I hate math, I say that, but do I? It's like saying, I said for the longest time I hate fish, but I love sushi. And I like fish and chips. And I like shrimp. I like lobster. I don't think I could say I hate fish anymore. What I hate is fishy fish that smells like fish. Anyway. So rhythm is a real superpower. And so it's no wonder that rhythm plays such a huge role in my work as a composer. It's obvious to me. I used to think that it was a crutch. I used to think that this is something that comes natural to me, so I'm going to put it in my cues, I'm a one-trick pony, which is imposter syndrome, feeling like you're a hack and you don't deserve to be there. And I was talking to a fellow composer of mine, actually my mentor, Danny McIntyre. He says, no, Dave, that's you. That's your sound. That's the thing that makes Dave's music sound like Dave, the thing that just came naturally out of me. So I feel like that's one of my superpowers. Another one of my superpowers, I think, is titles. I love writing titles. It's because I'm my sense of humor, I think, leads well towards tortured puns and a little bit of a wink, tongue-in-cheek sarcasm. I think it leads to that. And so I enjoy writing titles. And that's been a journey on its own, coming up with good titles. But writing a French cue called Quiche My Assiette. And that's the one that I struggled with last week and I'm going to be wrapping up tonight. I already have a title for it. Quiche My Assiette. Yep. And last week we had like Sat All You Got. And so I love writing titles. And so those are some of my superpowers. Some other types of superpowers. Maybe you're an amazing guitarist. Maybe you're an amazing classical guitarist. I know one of you listening, because we've met and we've done one-on-one sessions, an amazing trombone player. Amazing trombone player. I know amazing classical guitarist. I know amazing vocalists who during one of the masterminds, she put vocals on her cues and we all like fell out. I mean, she's really, really great. Super creative. She's absolutely going places. But when she sang, we're like, oh my gosh. It's a superpower. It's all obvious to us. I've been collaborating and working with a member of the community, and he's an amazing lyricist. And so something that I've been wanting to do for the longest time, which is write hip-hop with vocals, and I am not a rapper, but this guy over here is an amazing lyricist, an amazing rapper. Maybe your superpower is sound design. Maybe you can't stop recording forks banging on concrete. And what does that sound like? And what happens if I bring this into a sampler? And what if I mangle this sample? And that's like, ugh, walk around with my Zoom recorder recording everything. Or maybe you like writing synth patches. Maybe your happy place is tweaking oscillators and patching this sound into this sound into this sound. Maybe your superpower is playing a cello. Maybe you thought, man, I'm just a orchestra nerd. I don't know much about the DAW, but I can play a viola. Or maybe you're a flautist. Maybe you're a banjo player. Maybe you can whistle really good. Maybe you love MIDI programming. Maybe you love diving into a sample library and you can create really realistic, lush orchestrations. Maybe you have a gift for harmonic shenanigans. You have harmonic interplay and shifts and interesting chord progressions and modulations and all of those kind of things. Maybe they just come out of you naturally. I know some of you listening, this is you. In fact, I am, for the most part, I'm nailing or naming superpowers that I know members of the community have. Like one of you is a great guitarist, but is amazing at writing and singing top lines, coming up with melodies and lyrics and that kind of thing. Maybe your superpower is knowing all of these different synth libraries and just having an encyclopedic knowledge of different synths. The point is, first of all, it doesn't have to be performative. Right? It doesn't have to be what I can play, although we do have a topic coming up a little bit later where we'll kind of cover that, because parenthetically, being able to play an instrument is becoming more and more important, but more on that later. But I would put money on the fact that you have something that you can do that if people were asked, what's this guy really good at? Or what can this gal just do? And your friends would say, oh, they do this really amazingly. You might not even notice it. Or even worse, you might undervalue that. Which is what I did with rhythm. Because I think I just assumed everybody could do that. It's just a normal part of being a composer. No, it was, 35 years studying drums and percussion and breathing rhythm. It created a superpower. So when I was in sixth grade carrying my heavy bell set, because I didn't get a snare drum when I started out. Nope, I had a bell set, which to this day I still have. It's right downstairs, and that's the Glockenspiel. So I didn't know that when I was carrying my heavy-ass bell set to Ferndale Middle School in High Point, North Carolina in sixth grade. Little did I know that that was my origin story. Every superhero has an origin story. Chances are yours started in childhood, or maybe there was a moment where something clicked for you. And suddenly you're like, I feel this is my superpower. And so what is a superpower? The superpower is the thing that you do absolutely best, the thing that flows out of you naturally, that requires little effort, which again, often means that we undervalue it, that you would probably be known for if your friends or colleagues were asked to pick the one thing, the thing that you enjoy doing, just flows out. Probably the thing that if you were stranded on an island and said, you can only do one thing until the end of time, what would that one thing be musically? That is your superpower, my friend. Now, what if you don't know? What if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, Dave, maybe you're still in middle school, or maybe you didn't take band, or maybe you're finding out about this industry, you know, because of COVID or whatever, or maybe you're just, I like so many things. What do I do? How do you find your superpower? Well, have a think, kind of like we did at the beginning, and think about the one thing that you do effortlessly. And if you're not sure what that is, then maybe take an inventory of all the things that you enjoy doing. Like, actually, you know, I got a book right here that I take notes on, and it's just write it down, physically write it down. Ask your friends. Look over your work. Look over your cues. Is there a recurring theme here? Because the point of the superpower, or let me say this another way. The reason we are talking about this today is because I believe that it's through the use of your superpower, whatever that may be, that will create sustainable income, yes, sustainable creativity, and sustainable output for a long-term career. And I believe that requires not chasing trends, not saying this is hot right now and I'm going to go jump on this, not just copying everybody blindly, not like buying the latest plugin, not doing what I'm doing because I'm a YouTube guy or whatever. I believe that sustainable creativity, sustainable success in the production music or any real creative industry, and even beyond all of that, sustainable joy, sustainable fulfillment. If you're not outputting from a place which is naturally alive within you, then you're not going to enjoy this. You're not going to have fun. You're not going to love it. And so when the time comes to push through, when maybe you don't want to do it, you don't feel like it, maybe you're tired, maybe you know you had an argument with your partner, or maybe you have all these other commitments, or maybe have a tummy ache, or maybe you're just having a crap day. But you have deliverables, or you have to write a cue. And if you're doing something that's outside of your joy, outside of the thing that fills you up, then man, that's going to suck. There's no other way to say that. That's going to suck for you. But if you can find the thing that comes out of you naturally, if you can identify your superpower, and then find out how to leverage that superpower in the production music space. And that is the key. Finding your superpower and find out how you can use your superpower for sync. Which might mean you have to bend your superpower towards something that's a little bit more production music library editor friendly. For example, trombone player. Shout out to Nathan, man. What's happening? He's a really great trombone player. And if you need trombone work, call him up. Name is Nathan Toft. I hope it's okay that I'm name dropping you. He's in the community. Great trombone player. Really good trombone player. And so is he going to get work as a trombone player, like playing like concert trombone music that he might be playing or have played in college? Probably not. Nobody's buying that. Well, I'm sure somebody out there needs kind of like, you know, traditional band music, but not a lot of libraries are looking for that. However, what if we take those trombone skills and make really interesting, like, kids' music, which is what he did. He made an album of delightful trombone-centric, or the trombone was a featured instrument, but it wasn't like, you know, kids play trombone. It wasn't anything like that. He made a whole album of children's music using the trombone as an anchoring instrument. And it's amazing. And I predict he's going to have a ton of success with that. That's what I'm talking about in terms of finding where you can apply your superpower. For me, I found using rhythm and groove in the tension space, and how can I explore all of that rhythmic interplay that just kind of comes naturally to me with pulses, synth pulses and arpeggiators and delays and trying to make funky meters feel normal. And that's how I've applied that. If you're a classical guitarist, the idea isn't to necessarily just crank out a bunch of classical cues, although you could do that. You can absolutely do that. But how could we apply like that classical guitar sound in like tension cues or in more kind of jangly upbeat type of cues? You know, the technique, you have the technique, but what if you partnered with somebody else or collaborated with somebody who likes sound designing, and you gave them some classical guitar licks or some single notes, and then they took it and did some sound design, and now suddenly you come out with something better? Because I believe one of the big fallacies in this space, as we ride the line between art and commerce, I think one of the big fallacies is that I'm going to do my thing, and it might be my superpower. It's what I'm passionate about, and I'm going to keep doing it, and I want to find a home for it, which is commendable, but that's an uphill battle if nobody needs a slide whistle and that's your superpower, then it's going to be a long road getting from there to here. That's a Star Trek quote for you. But we have to shift our thinking. Not I'm going to write what I write and somebody needs to buy it, and if they don't, then that's on them. Because otherwise, that's just Superman in his super strength knocking down buildings and not saving people because he can fly. But no, Superman says, I have all of these superpowers. How can I use them to help other people? Notice, Superman did not enter into any track races, right? He didn't go dominate the Olympics. In fact, isn't like in The Incredibles, isn't there a scene where the kid who is super fast, you know, he wanted to run track, but he ended up like slowing down so that, you know, other folks could win, or the kids could win. But yeah, using your superpower to do good. Not, this is me, this is what I do, take it or leave it. Finding homes for your superpower that are applicable in the production music space. That's the key. And so go listen, go dial up a library, type in your superpower into their search field and see what comes up. If it's slide whistle, type slide whistle and see what happens. How can you apply your superpower in sync-friendly ways that editors can use so that you feel equally fulfilled doing the thing that comes easy to you while also helping your career, helping editors, helping music supervisors? That's everything hinges on that. Otherwise, we're just making art. If you're doing what you do and just put it out there, take it or leave it, then that's art and that's great. But if you can find a home for your superpower that is 85% where you want to be, why wouldn't you do that? So what if you feel like you have a superpower that isn't necessarily sync friendly? And I'm, even as I'm saying this, the only example I could come up with is like slide whistle, but I can't think of any musical skill, talent, creative. I can't think of one that couldn't possibly find a home in the production music space somehow. Let me know in the comments. Like, what about this? This is my superpower. Where can I find a home for that? But I believe that every creative superpower can find a home in some way. Some will be more obvious than others. If your superpower is synth programming and sound design, you know, crafting your own patches and everything, there's a huge opportunity there because tension cues and underscores and trailers, they use that stuff in droves. They use that so much. So some of it might be like 95% ready, but some of it might be 85 or 75% applicable. Like, for example, if my superpower is rhythm and I'm in the middle of writing these cafe dramedy cues, then I'm going to put little beats in them. I'm going to look for really interesting rhythmic ways to voice my melodies. I'm going to look for interesting rhythmic turns and rhythmic shenanigans that I can pull off. That's applying my superpower into my current assignment or my current project or, you know, brief, whatever you're doing, your pitch. So I would like to know in the comments what you think. If something isn't sync friendly, I'd love to know. Please let me know in the comments. But I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment to talk about kryptonite. If we're all superheroes with superpowers, what happens when we run into the thing that counters our superpowers? Right? How do we get around that? How do we get around our kryptonite? All right. So some of the kryptonite examples might be procrastination. That's one of my kryptonites. Just a little bit of laziness, delaying important tasks. Another kryptonite. Lack of focus. Your superpower might be the ability to play a ton of different instruments. Maybe you're a wind player and you're like, I can play anything that requires breath, which is great. That's a fantastic superpower. But that kryptonite might be lack of focus. Like, just how do you maintain that focus? Well, find the thing that comes easiest to you. Maybe your superpower is, I don't know, maybe you can compose really quickly. Things come out just naturally. Your kryptonite might be perfectionism. Fixating on details. If your superpower is sound design, manipulating sounds, synth programming, that kind of thing, then your kryptonite might be getting stuck in your process. Maybe you're hesitant to try a new synth. Maybe you have your one way, getting stuck in a rut. Maybe your superpower is lyric writing. You're an amazing lyricist or a vocalist. Your kryptonite might be accepting feedback, criticism, because lyrics are so personal. And if they're coming out of you, then hearing, oh, I'm not sure this is working out, or this is, what about this line? What about? Yeah, I could see that being a kryptonite. If your kryptonite is metadata, writing good titles, if your superpower is that, then that's where some of the procrastination comes in. If your superpower is like cutdowns and final mix and master and deliverables, then delaying doing that stuff, I don't know, procrastination might be part of it. So the only way to kind of break through our own personal kryptonite is to admit it and say, take a really sobering look at yourself and say, this is something that I do that I don't like about myself that I want to be better about. I mentioned procrastination is one of mine. Another one of mine is overcommitting, overpromising, and underdelivering. It makes me feel terrible about myself. And I feel like I let people down. And the only way around that is time management and budgeting and time budgeting. And we talked about that before. But the only way to push through your kryptonite is to know where it is. Superman was keenly aware of the effect that kryptonite had on him. So he avoided it. He recognized it and he knew when it was near. Kryptonite, I'm feeling the power come out of my leg. Something's happening. And was sensitive to it when it was around. And I think that's the key to overcoming our kryptonite, is being honest with ourselves when it's there and asking for help. Putting systems in place that are there to help you push through that. It may be accountability. It may be project management software. It might be getting honest feedback from people. It might be using note-taking apps or to-do list managers. And so, as I've been talking today, I hope that you've been thinking about your superpower. I hope you've been marinating in the idea of what is my superpower? And I challenge you to find it. I challenge you to think deep into the thing that brings you the most joy, that comes out most effortlessly for you. And let me know in the comments. And We here at 52Qs, we want to hear about your superpower. We want to hear about your superpower because our next composer quest, starting at the beginning of May, is What is Your Superpower? For May, our May composer quest is What is Your Superpower? We want to hear your superpower. So starting, and I think you could actually submit it right now, harness your musical might in the What's Your Superpower composer quest, inviting all production music composers to showcase your specific ability, whether it's crafting rhythms and melodies, mixing, sound design, or anything in between. This is your opportunity. Vocal tracks, instrumental cues are all open and eligible, and this is open to all community members. There's no buy-in. The primary requirement is that your submission must be sync-friendly, meaning between 2 to 2.5 minutes, and adaptable for use in the production music space. So we want you to highlight your skill or superpower, which hopefully all day today you've been thinking about. It could be in any genre, include vocal, it can be rap, instrumental, needs to be original and suitable for sync, and needs to be in WAV format, and then we have some other uploading criteria that you can check out. Submissions need to be received by 6 a.m. on Monday, June 3rd, and there is an empty an entry form that you fill out, and then you upload your cue, and rewards are going to include being featured on the podcast, maybe some swag, some badges, some in-community badges. And so we want to hear your superpower. So please, please check that out. It's running right now over at 52Qs, and it shows up if you're already in the community. It shows up right here on the left side of the menu in the new Composer Quest. Just as a heads up, we've consolidated all of our Composer Quests into one space, so you don't have to kind of add yourself to all of the different Composer Quests. So yeah. And that's going to end with live voting, which is going to be on June 6th here. We're going to be playing it here on YouTube, and that's also going to be a podcast episode. And can't wait to hear your superpower submissions. So we are going to take a really quick break and take a few moments to talk about 52Q's community and how you can join. But when we return, we are going to check out an epic orchestral hip-hop cue being written for the NFL on CBS, which is this week's submission for Expedition 52. Like I said at the beginning of today's episode, 52Qs would not be possible without the amazing support of our family, friends, and neighbor subscribers of 52Qs, who not only keep the community alive and thriving, but as paid subscribers, they also get access to extra benefits like live streams, cue breakdowns, Zoom feedback sessions, monthly workshops, hundreds of hours of video archives, and opportunities to submit to real music libraries. So maybe this is resonating with you. Maybe you're looking for a community of supportive, like-minded composers all working towards bettering themselves and their career in production and library music. If this sounds like you, then why don't you head over to 52Qs.com and join us. It is free to sign up, and our membership tiers start at just $4 a month. We would love to have you over there. So head over to 52Qs.com. So that was Challenge Accepted, pretty standard kind of epic orchestral hip-hop cue that I will be submitting for the upcoming NFL season on CBS Sports. So who knows, maybe it will get some love. For you family and friends subscribers, you can check out a complete breakdown of this cue, including the instruments that were used, the approach to it, mix, master, EQing, all of that stuff. That's going to be posting on tomorrow's cue breakdown. But that is going to do it for me this week. Hope that you've had a great week 17. You definitely want to join in next week, because next Saturday is May the 4th. Now, you know, I'm a big fan of tortured puns, but next Saturday, May the 4th, is Star Wars Day. You know, May the 4th be with you. I know that's really stupid, but I thought it would be a good idea to talk about lessons we can learn from Star Wars. Similar to my what I learned about production music from Star Trek, we're going to talk about the lessons we can learn for production music from Star Wars. So you definitely want to tune in for that. Hey, if you found this video helpful, or if you enjoy this podcast, then why don't you consider subscribing? I put out content every single week about production and library music. If you're watching on YouTube, give us that thumbs up. I know it seems really corny, all of the hosts to do it, but it really does help other folks and folks like you find the podcast and find the channel. And if you're listening to the audio on the go, what's happening, my on the go audio folks, then consider giving it a 5-star review in whatever podcast app you are listening on. Either way, just know that I appreciate and love you. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I know that you're going to have an amazing week 18. How do I know that, everybody? Say it with me. I know, trust, and believe that the universe has amazing plans just for you. Oh, and by the way, what did you think about the new setup? Kind of going back to our old school roots. Let me know in the comments. I definitely want to hear from you. If you think this is distracting, or maybe it's a little bit more kind of conversational, let me know. Okay. Where were we? The universe has amazing plans just for you. I'm not cutting any of this. Until next time, peace. The 52 Qs podcast is copyright 2024 818 Studios, all rights reserved. The music played on the podcast is copyright of their respective owners and is used with permission and for educational purposes only. For more information, including joining the community or becoming a member subscriber of 52 Qs, head over to 52qs.com. Did you know that more and more libraries organize their catalogs as albums, complete collections of cues that all share a similar theme or purpose? But what does that mean to us, the composer? Do we have to write an album in order to get placed in a library? And if so, how do we get started, and how can we even be sure we have that many ideas? Well, if this sounds like you, then the 52 Qs Album Accelerator is your answer. This self-paced program with over 6.5 hours of video content, discussion threads, articles, and resources will guide you through the entire process of creating a production music album, ready for library usage. We give you tips on coming up with an album concept, finding inspiration for composing, cue form and structure, and navigating project management and deliverables, all while working towards finding and pitching to libraries who need what you're best at writing. Plus, you'll receive a 90-minute one-on-one Zoom session to listen through the cues in your album, go over your pitches, and discuss strategies for library placement. So head over to 52qs.com/accelerator for more information and to sign up today. Again, that's 52qs.com/accelerator.